The Outlet. The talk of Queenstown.
Welcome to The Outlet. I'm your host, Brent Harbour. In this podcast, I catch up with QLDC Mayor Glyn Lewis. We talk about the government's thoughts on a visitor levy, including Axe David Seymour and his GST sharing scheme, the Lakeview development, public transport debates, and the future of Wanaka Airport.
For the latest local news, sport, information, and entertainment, download the Queenstown app. This is The Outlet.
G'day, Glyn. Welcome to The Outlet podcast.
Good morning, Brent. Great to be here.
I really appreciate your time. So we've got a few things to talk about today. First up, it seems the coalition government is really not that keen on a visitor's levy, either locally or nationally. David Seymour, he said, you know, let's use the Axe GST sharing scheme. Can you talk us through it? What are your thoughts on this, Glyn?
Okay, well, start off with Axe's proposal for a GST sharing scheme. That's based on half share of the GST created by the value of new residential builds. So it's just focused on residential builds. Now, I talked to David prior to last year's election and I got our staff to come up with the figure for residential construction in our district for the previous year. And I put the figure in front of him of what QLDC would have collected under that scheme. It was a rather large number. And I put it to him that I said, once Treasury sees that number, I'm pretty sure there would be a tweaking of that policy so we wouldn't get that amount of money. So, look, if it goes through as how it was intended during the election, that would do wonders for QLDC. It would certainly take care of our growth issues and providing forward infrastructure to accommodate the growth in residential numbers. I won't start celebrating just yet until it passes, but the cynic part of my brain says Treasury probably won't. They'll probably balk at the large number that would get sent in our direction. And on a New Zealand Inc. perspective, probably Selwyn, Auckland, Tauranga and Queenstown Lakes would be the biggest beneficiaries of it. The districts that have little or no growth wouldn't see any benefit from it. So, yeah, it's great for QLDC if it goes through, but we'll wait and see. With regards to the visitor levy, look, there are movements within the industry as well as local government to actually put this forward to our central government. It will be continued to be discussed and actioned throughout, I'd say, their term as central government. There's different models out there now. I think the accommodation sector as a whole has realised that if they don't become part of the conversation, it'll happen to them, whether it be a visitor levy or district councils and city councils just turning the dial and differentiating their rates to a higher degree than what they have now, and especially so in Queenstown Lakes, where we have the evidence and the economic data to say, hey, tourism is actually impacting the rates that residents pay. So we could turn the dial to those cost centres, those cost creators, which is the accommodation sector. And if a visitor levy that is broad-based, that includes short-term lets, can pick up some of that slack, that's better for the commercial, the traditional commercial accommodation sector, because if we just go down the rates path, it's directly on your hotels and your motels. And when there's a downturn, there is no rates break. With a percentage based, it drops with the price of the room. So that's the decision that the accommodation sector is probably actually going to have to face up to. And from discussions I've had with the industry, they've realised that and they're open to that discussion. So it's still happening. We'll see what happens probably in the later end of this year or probably early next, whether that discussion gets picked up by Central.
Well, I know from travelling overseas, you do pay a tourist levy, but it's sort of built in so you never notice it, right? For as far as the travelling public go anyway.
Yeah, and look, there's some nuance and there's some detail to go into it because, look, a visitor levy here in Queenstown, because of our dynamic nature of pricing of the accommodation sector, it can be absorbed a lot quicker, a lot easier than, let's say, a smaller rural-based centre where there might be only two or in one hotel, motel, whatever the rate is or whatever it is, can't be easily absorbed. So there. It may be able to work in some areas, but not in others. But there is a view, if it does happen, it'll probably be national. And from a QLDC point of view, that probably means that the rate collected will probably be lower, which is probably not as in the best interests of the district. But all I say is you've only got one card to play when it comes to the visitor levy, and you've got to get that price signal correct. If we undercook it, it's one shot and done. So I could go on for hours about this. Look, there's also the discussion what it's used for. So when I hear about car parks and toilets, well, that's fine in other districts, but for Queenstown Lakes, it's hard infrastructure. It's pipes in the ground. It's your water. It's your wastewater. It's your roading. And it's also actually producing infrastructure that not only serves tourism, but actually makes the quality of life for the residents not to be degraded. So there's a lot playing in here, and there's a few bit of politics in behind it, I can tell you that now.
Glenn, can we talk about the Lakeview development? I mean, as always, people have differing opinions. Some wanted the land to have worker housing, but the first lot of apartments are being sold off plan. And on reflection, are you happy with the direction the project has taken? And ultimately, do you think it'll be a win for the QLDC?
Look, I think my feelings are irrelevant when it comes to Lakeview. What I want to see it, is as successful as it can be, because the more success it gets, the better return the ratepayers get. I'm confident that we will get a return. Look, my focus for Lakeview at the moment is to get it open, especially Thompson Street up the top there, and actually start handing over some land to the vertical developer so we can actually start seeing some action on the ground, above the ground, because all the risk for the vertical is placed on the developer. We pretty much we step back from that risk, and it's all with the developer, as I said. Look, everyone has differing views about it. My efforts are just to make it as successful as we can for the ratepayer. Look, there's some aspects that are very good for the district. The work we've done on Thompson Street, future-proofing options when it comes to resilience with wastewater. If stages 3 for the bypass ever happens, it gives us options to really improve resilience in our roading network, but more importantly, moves wastewater away from the lakeside and up and over into the recreation ground. So look, there's a lot of stuff that we've put under the ground that people don't see, and we've created options in city shaping and making Queenstown CBD more open for business and creating more economic activity, which from my point of view is a very good thing. Look, it's a long-term project. It'll be 10 years, I'd say, 10 to 15 years. We still hold the land. It is progressively transferred to the developer as they meet our benchmarks for development. The agreement that was written, I've been informed, is a exemplar across the nation, and central government now uses that type of agreement across the way they deal with land transference and development, where they want to see certain outcomes. So there are some very innovative and very good things about Lakeview. I can understand the angst against it, because obviously the whole premise of it might not agree with people, but this was decided back in 2018. I'm now an elected member that has to make sure that this is as successful as it can possibly be for the ratepayer, and that's pretty much my view, and I'll try and act in that manner.
Now, public transport was the main topic of discussion at a drop-in session for the long-term plan. Your favourite thing, the long-term plan in Wanaka. So with proposed rate increases, it would be even higher for Queenstown Lakes ratepayers because of a proposed targeted rate for public transport, which would mean Wanaka ratepayers would subsidise Queenstown public transport. So from a Wanaka perspective, that's going to be a hard sell, isn't it?
Oh, very hard. Look, I had breakfast with the chair of the ORC probably last month when I was in Dunedin, and I did raise this point with her, and I indicated to Gretchen that unfortunately you might see a pretty strong response from QLDC in their submission, in our submission to the ORC regarding this issue. I can understand Monica's point of view here. You don't want to pay for something that practically you don't use and you don't see any benefit from, and that would be the same if it was happening to Queenstown. I'd expect Cromwell doing the same. So the premise of the whole public transport rating under the ORC is an 80-20 split. So for Dunedin's public transport and Queenstown's public transport, 80% of the costs for those are borne by, let's say, Dunedin City, and in our case, Queenstown Lakes District, the whole district, and 20% is spread across the region. So if we went back to what it is now, where it's just the Wakatipu Basin paying for the 80%, Wanaka would still be paying 20% of that cost, if people can follow what I'm saying there. I know it's a little bit complicated and convoluted, but that's the general premise of it. We're still working through our submission. We take on board Wanaka's views on this, and I think that will be reflected in the submission to ORC. We'll be talking with ORC next week. We have usually a six-weekly catch-up just to discuss public transport. It will be raised, but obviously it's a long-term plan issue, so we'll see how it goes. But we're aware of the issue, and we're looking at how to make sure that the feelings of Wanaka are very much put forward. But on the other side of the coin, we're trying to also get public transport in Wanaka. So I don't know whether there's a bit of forward paying for it. I don't know. Well, that's the stuff we're going to have to... Those are the questions we're asking, and how this targeted rate is actually targeting the users in the actual cross-regional, cross-district benefit. How is that actually being scoped and decided upon? So there's a bit of discussion, but yeah, it's being looked at seriously. I can tell you that now.
Now, the Wanaka Upper Clutha Community Board is also asking for consultation for the Wanaka Airport Master Plan to start thinking about the future, which is understandable. So there's no proposals or timeframes. Where is that currently at from your understanding? And what would you like to see, Glenn?
Okay, so Wanaka Airport, it's been discussed. It's been discussed by councillors. It's obviously an item of discussion that I have with the executives, and also discussed with the chair of the community board and a few different community groups. At this point, nothing is being seriously considered or acted upon. We with regards to a master plan, we're actually concentrating on civil aviation authorities' request for a safety audit, both on land side and air side at the moment, and that's where our efforts have been sitting. So we've done the first part, which, funny enough, it's called the exciting name Part A, which is to do with the land side stuff. So that's more about security fencing, upgrading some runways, some different navigation aids, stuff and moving that about. That requires a level of investment that is quite substantial, and it would mean that progressively over time we'll be lifting fees and charges within for the airport users. Whether that is enough, or whether we just bring it up to a level of compliance and just leave the airport as it is, the return on investment is nil to very slim in the long term. And the question is, if we're going to spend that much money just to get it to a compliance level, here's the opportunity to say, hey, if we spend a little bit more, can we open up some expand the existing scheduled services that we have there to the greater extent? Now, that's the big question, and that's where the master planning stuff comes in, is what's the extent of any further development, if development is wanted? Now, I'm going to frame this future discussion, and I'm going to put it in a box. This is squarely about turboprop. I'm not going to even go down the jet path. The discussion will be framed around turboprops and the max being an ATR 72. So whether the Wanaka community and the district would like to see scheduled services improved and increased, so you can jump on an ATR from Wanaka to Christchurch or Wellington, that's probably a discussion that this council will have with the community, and it will require investment, and it will require a different governance structure. And that's probably where I see the real nub of those discussions being: how are we going to pay for this, and how is it going to be governed? And that is an upfront, open conversation we're going to have with the Wanaka community and the district. Once we get the long-term plan packed up and approved, hopefully approved by councillors, once it goes out to submission later on in the mid-year, that's when we'll turn our mind onto developing scenarios and doing a bit of economic evaluation of different options to put out to the community to see, hey, these are the different ways we can go about Wanaka Airport. Do you want it just to the level of compliance, or do you want something like, let's say, Blenheim Airport, or to the extreme, Nelson Airport? So there's the whole spectrum. Where do you want to be? And then once we find out where we want to be, I think the real discussions, I'm being serious here, will be about how we pay for it and what's the governance model. So that's probably future discussions, and that's probably something we'll turn our minds to once we get the long-term plan squared away.
Oh, that's great to know. And finally, can you give me your reflections on Anzac Day? Was it well supported in the region?
Really well supported. Look, dawn service, the weather wasn't that pleasant here in Queenstown. And I hear Hawea and Wanaka were just the same. Look, this is the second time I've attended a dawn service where I'm up the front looking into the crowd. And I can tell you now, Queenstown, the level of attendance was pretty much just the same as the fine windy day last year. So that was really, really pleasing to see. Arrowtown, once again, I don't know how they do it. The sun came out, sunshine, just the autumn colours, the parade up to the cenotaph. And that was a massive attendance. Now, I think there was well over 1,000 people there and a great service. So well done to the RSAs across the district and the ones I went to in Queenstown and Arrowtown. Yeah, just magnificent. Really good.
There's lots of young people attending the Anzac Day commemorations, which I think is really great.
Yeah, and I should make special mention of Jack from Wakatipu High School. He won the speech contest about Anzac. He gave a speech both at Queenstown and Arrowtown, and he'd done a sterling job. Knocked it out of the park, so well done, young man. I expect... I had a few people come up to him and say, I should nab him and get him into the political environment. And I says, well, let him go to university or let him find his own path first before he gets under the cynical play of politics. Sorry.
No, that's great. Oh, well, that is really good to hear. Well, Glenn, thank you again for having a chat. Really appreciate your time.
No, that's been great, Brent. And I'll talk to you again, no doubt. Cheers, mate.
On Buzzsprout, Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcasts, The Outlet.
The talk of Queenstown.
Thanks for listening to The Outlet, your local interview podcast for Queenstown. Now, if you have a story or an interview you think should be featured on The Outlet podcast, please get in touch by using the contact button on your Queenstown app. The Outlet is produced and published by the Queenstown app and supported with funding from the New Zealand Public Interest Journalism Fund. All episodes of The Outlet are available on the podcast button on your Queenstown app and wherever you get your podcasts.